Whether you drive a car,
need a car,
or just occasionally bum a ride with friends,
you've come to the right place.
Join Jill and Tom as they break down everything that's going on in the auto world.
New car reviews,
shopping tips,
driving green,
electric cars,
classic cars,
and plenty of great guests.
This is the Consumer Guide Car Stuff Podcast.
All right, I am Tom Appel, and this is the Consumer Guide Car Stuff Podcast. Thanks for joining us today. Hey, when you get a chance, check us out at consumerguide.com. While you're there, check out our 2023 Best Buy picks. This list is an excellent starting place if you were looking for a new car or truck. And this is important, you can stream back episodes of the podcast right there on our homepage. All right, she's the editor-in-chief of Pick a Truck Plus SUV Talk. She's North American Car of the Year juror, plus she's a contributing editor here at Consumer Guide, and her freelance work can be found all over the internet. What did I do wrong, Joe?
No, I'm like, I'm totally going to have to take your notes and edit them.
it isn't editor-in-chief, it's managing editor.
Okay. Like I said, I like the title bump. We'll see if...
I'm writing it, but that's not going to fix anything.
My boss, Mr. Doll, will give me the pay bump, too.
I throw this out as we leave, so this isn't me writing this. You're going to have to email me.
I'll send you a note. But no, I am the managing editor for Pickup Truck Plus SUV.
See, I underlined it, but I underlined the wrong thing. I'm actually showing Jill my notes now.
Yeah.
Jill, happy anniversary.
Okay.
This is our 150th episode.
Wow.
Yeah, 150.
I feel really spry for 150.
You look spry.
That's good. That's good. It's a new face cream.
Before I forget, later in the show, we chat with Jennifer Morand of the Chicago Automobile Trade Association. She is co-president and co-auto show general manager. They have a little thing coming up later next month, early next month.
Yeah, in
two weeks.
Yeah, it's coming up.
Jill, how are you?
I'm doing well. I had a very low-key weekend, and I needed that.
Yeah, I watched some Gunsmoke.
I read, like, 3 books.
What the? What books?
Just mindless fiction. I needed a mental break. So, and, by the way, I started a new book, though, that I have to tell you about. It's called Eat the Frog.
That doesn't sound like mindless. That sounds like something weird and philosophical.
It is a little bit weird. And I want to say it's Eat the Frog. And I can't remember the fellow's name. I will get it wrong. But it's about not putting off. Like, it's about like avoiding procrastination.
Yeah.
You got to, the first thing that you do in the morning is eat a live frog, the rest of your day is going to be better.
That's probably true.
So I wake up in the morning, I'm like, okay, what frog am I going to go eat right now?
I worked for a company in the 90s, right around 95, and everyone in the company was required to read Who Moved My Cheese.
Oh, I've read that.
Yeah, what the hell?
I don't know. I still use some of the verbiage from that, and I'll say, you know, because I'll be like, my cheese is moving, and I see the writing on the wall.
I didn't read it, so I don't know what my cheese is doing.
Oh, your cheese moved, but you found it again.
It moves because I make a lot of sandwiches, and we are so far off topic. But I pushed back against having to read the silly self-help.
I actually enjoyed Who Moved My Cheese. It was like 60 pages. You could read that in half an hour.
I could.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
I could have.
It's easy.
Yeah, corporate new thing stuff just annoys me. Jill, I was going to ask you, we have lots of things to talk about today.
We do.
There is the Ford Mustang Mach-E, big price cuts. Mm-hmm. Corvette, new Corvette edition, the E-Ray. Mm-hmm. Don't call it a hybrid. Mm-mm. But just to waste time, and because I always want to be off schedule, I threw a question at you that I didn't prepare you for.
Okay, and we haven't wasted enough time already talking about eating frogs?
We have not.
Okay, got it.
Jill, what car do you personally like that you would not recommend to someone else?
What? Oh, that is a total...
Probably should have prepped you for that one.
You should have.
Yeah.
What car do I like that I would not recommend to anybody else? I honestly, so I own a GTI and I love the GTI, but I would recommend it to everybody else. So I don't know.
Mitsubishi Mirage. Do you like the Mitsubishi Mirage? No. Okay.
No, I'm like not the Mitsubishi Mirage. No, okay. That would not be it. And I will say I have a little bit of a caveat in here because vehicles I would own include manual transmissions. My husband and I have, like, as a part of kind of like our marriage vows, that as long as possible, we will never own a vehicle that doesn't have a manual transmission. So that's going to narrow our field very soon.
Yeah. What just came out that was stick only?
Well, I know that what the Civic Si, isn't that stick only?
Oh, the Integra.
Yeah. Well, no, I don't think that's stick only. I think it also
has... No, the Type S.
Okay. Okay, yeah. But like, so a lot of your performancey vehicles that have the manual transmission, they are manual transmission only, because I feel like the Civic Type R will be manual transmission only as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I mean, all of those vehicles are vehicles that I would love that maybe somebody who lives in Chicago or an urban environment would not want because of the manual transmission.
I've got three for you.
Okay. Okay. Of course you do.
Volkswagen Arteon, Lexus GX460, Camry TRD. I would gladly own all three of those vehicles, but I'm not sure they really land where they should for mainstream consumers.
Well, considering that, the Volkswagen Arteon only sold like five vehicles last year?
Yeah, and it's being discontinued either at the end of 2024, I think, so it's going away anyway. But I think that for what it is, a large sedan, it would disappoint a lot of people. NVH isn't quite there. That engine's a little throbby. Maybe the interior materials aren't where they should be, but it's roomy, and it's a blast to drive, and it's great on the highway. But Lexus GX460, big old-school V8.
Totally old-school.
Yeah. I love it. I love the interior. I love the off-road performance, but it's expensive and very thirsty.
Well, you know, and along those lines, a vehicle that I really like, I wouldn't own, but I would kind of recommend it to other people, is the 4Runner.
Yeah.
Same kind of.
4Runner, yeah. 4Runner, most people buying a 4Runner don't need a 4Runner. They should have bought a Highlander. They're going to get better mileage,
or a
better
Camry.
Space utilization. Yeah.
Most people who buy SUVs like can totally get by with a Camry.
Yeah, if you live in the North Woods, if you live someplace where you need a crossover, but you have real winter driving problems, or you actually off-road, 4Runner is your vehicle.
Yeah, like so my boss, he lives in Nebraska.
But 15 miles per gallon, 4Runner
would
work. That's a problem.
Yeah, Chicago, not so much. Yeah. Okay, but to your last vehicle.
Oh, no, Camry TRD.
Yeah,
it's a silly vehicle.
Not the Avalon TRD that we discussed last week?
Not on sale anymore. That would be absolutely it.
Yeah.
This is actually in place of the Avalon.
Yeah. That is a very interesting and peculiar vehicle.
All right. That's all I got.
That's all you got?
Yeah.
Now I'm going to think about it. And in the middle of talking with Jen Moran in our second segment, I'll be like, blah. I'll blurt out the vehicle and we'll be so far gone and I'll apologize.
Yep. So. Well, if you think of it, just blurt it out. That's not annoying at all. Just blurt it out.
No, I'll blurt.
So, weird thing going on at Ford, right?
Yep.
The F-150 Lightning, and everything that happens during the chip shortage, during the supply chain issue, we don't really know the truth about. But let's just take this with a grain of salt and just assume the F-150, they're building as many of them as they can, and they had to raise prices because lithium prices have gone up, and a lot of the stuff that goes into batteries are expensive. But Ford has raised the base price of the F-150 Lightning from $40,000 to $56,000. And was it in three different price increases?
Oh, I don't know. Because the last increase I remember was like a $7,000 increase.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
So they've done that there.
Yeah.
Tesla just dropped the prices of several of its models. I think all of its models.
Mm-hmm.
But more importantly, in the U.S. and really everywhere, the Model E, Model 3, I'm sorry, and the Model Y.
Right.
A lot.
Yeah.
A lot. So what are other makers doing?
Well, pretty much everybody else is raising prices, but Tesla dropped them. So then it's ooh.
What's going on?
Yeah. So speaking of Ford.
Yeah, the Mach-E. They just announced big price cuts.
Yeah.
Or a range of price cuts, some of which are big.
Yeah. So I think the second trim up off the base is a $600 price cut.
Yeah.
But the top tier trim is a $5,900 price cut.
That's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money.
It's going on 10% of the price of the vehicle.
Yeah. And so what I find really interesting, though, is what they've done now with this price cut is pretty much every trim except for one is now under $55,000, which means that those trims are going to qualify for the IRA $7,500 federal tax credit.
They should, yeah.
Yeah.
They're probably going to get half of it because I don't think that Ford has secured a friendly trade nation supply chain for its batteries.
Right. Well, and because we had this conversation offline, Ford calls it an SUV. Most of the world calls it an SUV, but for all intents and purposes, it's classified as a car, which means it hits that $5,500 or $55,000.
It's got to be $5,500. It can't be $80,000.
$55,000. I keep saying $5,500 and it's $55,000.
Did I just say 100 as
you
well?
Did.
Yeah, $55,000.
Yeah.
That'd be a good deal.
That would be a really good deal. A Mustang Mach-E for $5,500.
I would have several. I would give them away to my friends.
Yeah. Party favors. Party favors.
So the price increases are interesting. Plus Ford, or decreases are interesting. Plus Ford says they're going to seriously ramp up production.
Yeah.
Why haven't they done that yet? I'm just asking.
I mean, I'm assuming it's supply chain issues.
I assume.
Yeah. And I think they're retooling, or not retooling, but like adding production to the Mexico plant.
Okay.
Is how they're making this happen. I think that's what I read on CNBC.
Because they sold about 40,000 of these things last year. I have the number here someplace. And they're hoping to sell 100. No, start production at a rate of 130,000 units.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably too late for them to hit 130,000 this year. But that's more.
Yeah.
That's more of the vehicles.
A lot more.
So we'll see where that goes.
Well, and the other thing to know, the price decrease effectively takes effect January 1. So if you bought, like they announced it today, January 30th, so the end of the month. But if you bought your vehicle after January 1st and you haven't taken delivery of the vehicle, the price decrease applies to you.
That's good to know.
Yeah. If you bought it in 2022, you're SOL.
Also, if you buy a vehicle that's in the pipeline, although I think those are all committed for. I don't think there are like loose vehicles that are going into dealer inventory.
Probably not.
But if not, there's probably rebates that cover this price change.
Yeah.
So there you have it. Cheaper Mustang Mach-Es. To your point, though, about it being a crossover or a car, less ground clearance than a Camry. I'm just saying.
This is by no means a crossover.
But right. I like the vehicle.
Right.
All right. Corvette news.
Corvette news. Yeah.
The E-Ray.
Yeah.
Corvette E-Ray. Don't call it a hybrid, but that's exactly what
it is.
I know,
I'm calling it a hybrid.
Yeah. They're not. A couple of things they're not saying here that's interesting. But, so, new Corvette coming out for 2024 later this year.
Mm-hmm.
It is an electrified, air quotes, electrified.
Right.
It's not electric.
And it's not plug-in.
It's not plug-in. It's a simple hybrid, but the old 495 horsepower 6.2 liter V8, that's still there, plus 160 horsepower from an e-axle up front.
Yep.
So bunch of torque at launch. This is interesting.
Yeah.
They're not calling it a hybrid, but the thing that's killing me about this is that it is so similar in performance to the Z06, which I think just came out, and that's got an entirely different engine, high performance 5.5 liter, 32 valve flat plane crank, a lot of tech. Babble there, but
yes, a lot of tech babble,
but they're about the same price, so this is really weird. This is a really weird transition in the world of going EV electric, sort of.
Electrified. That word can mean so much. You have the electrified Genesis G80, and that's fully electric, and now you have the electrified Corvette, which is only a hybrid. I use real words. People like explain what it actually is. It's an electric G80. It is a hybrid Corvette. But a couple of other interesting things about this vehicle. So total combined output, I believe, is 600 horsepower, which, as you noted, is.
Oh, is there a combined total? Because you can't just add the numbers.
No.
Right.
I don't think you can. So
because the peaks are different.
Yeah, and I think you're right. I think that's on par with the Z06. And then all-wheel drive standard.
This is the first ever all-wheel drive Corvette.
Yeah.
It's the first ever electrified Corvette. Also, as someone pointed out, and I love this so much, they're calling it stealth mode, but you can operate on electric only, electric power only, but that makes it what's totally counter to the Corvette experience here.
Quiet?
It makes it front-wheel drive.
Oh, I was going to say it makes it quiet. That's totally counter to the Corvette experience.
But a front-wheel drive Corvette is crazy. So instead, what do they call that mode? Stealth mode.
Stealth mode.
So it's got a totally badass name that covers the fact that you're driving a front drive Corvette.
And it goes up to, I think, 45 miles per hour.
Does it really?
Yeah.
That's not going to last very long in that mode.
No, but it's just meant for being in the neighborhoods.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
That's like guys on Harleys just love making their cars quiet for their bikes quiet for periods of time.
I know. Not even a little bit. Well, it's like those commercials you see where they put it on, like, I can see it in my head right now. It'll be a commercial where somebody's sneaking home after curfew or something and they put it on stealth mode so that they can sneak into the garage without mom and dad knowing. But of course, mom and dad are like, they have like the tracker on or something and they know the car is, parked in the garage.
So mom and dad let the kid have the E-Ray?
Or the kid took the E-Ray and,
I don't know.
Or maybe it's the reverse. The kid is taking the E-Ray and trying to sneak out, but they put an air tag in the car so that it sends an alert that the vehicle is no longer in residence. I don't know. There's going to be a commercial there with the stealth mode and a teenager.
So you just won the lottery scratch-off ticket that says you get to pick one Corvette.
Okay.
Which one do you pick?
Does it have to be a current model?
Yes. Yes. Basically, I want you to say Z06 or E-Ray.
Got it. Z06 or E-Ray. Otherwise, it would be a 1963 split-window Corvette.
No, you have to pick one of them.
I think I'm going E-Ray.
I think I'm going E-Ray.
I want the all-wheel drive for Chicago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. I'm glad that's settled. The other crazy thing about the Corvette I just wanted to point out, and you weren't reading Car and Driver back in the 80s.
But, no, I don't know that I was reading in the 80s.
But nothing was fast in the 80s.
Okay.
Right? I had an 85 yeah. Scirocco 0 to 60, 10 seconds. Nothing was fast in the 80s. But you know what number they used to play with was skid pad.
Okay.
Skid pad was just a measure of lateral acceleration. And mm-hmm. if you got a number over 0.8, that was pretty sporty. That means you had a lot of grip.
Okay.
So I'm at the Corvette site today, and I'm configuring an E-Ray. There's not much information there yet, but they do have a lateral acceleration number of 1.22, which is like blacking out kind of. that's just so much grip. It's only funny to old guys, but I'm telling you, that's a lot of grip.
Okay. I will just nod and smile and say all thank right. you for the information.
All right. That's all I got. So do we know when that goes on sale? Just later this year, right?
Yeah, I think. I think that's all we've seen. And we didn't say pricing either. So they have announced that was the base price is $104,000.
Yeah.
And then you're looking at about $110,000, $111,000 for the convertible. So the base coupe.
Yeah. And then they haven't announced any sort of production. Like, this isn't limited production.
No, so. I haven't seen that. It's going to be built in Bowling Green. Surprise.
So we should start hearing stories about people putting deposits down and getting in line and paying huge prices.
Yeah, I don't know if they've opened up the reservation orders or not.
I don't think they have, or we would have heard about it.
Yeah.
Because if you're a manufacturer, the first thing you want to announce is that you're sold out. You don't tell people how many that is. It's like 11. But then they sell out and then, oh, this thing's in high demand.
Yes.
All right. We should take a break.
Okay.
All right. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we talk to Jennifer Morand of the Chicago Automobile Trade Association. Stick around.
The phone lines are now open.
Call now. 888-463-6748. That's 888-463-6748. Welcome back to the Car Stuff Podcast.
All right, we're back. This is the Consumer Guide Car Stuff Podcast, and I am Tom Appel, publisher of Consumer Guide Automotive. Thanks for sticking around. Jill, this is the part of the show that even though we have a guest waiting, I waste people's time reminding them that they should follow me on Twitter. I am Car Guy Tom. That is car_guy_Tom on Twitter. I promise to be entertaining. Why are you snickering?
Because it's also the point in the show where I need to be told to talk into the mic. Because who would have thought that I was quiet? But no. Apparently I am.
Yeah, there you go. All right. Our guest today is the co-president and auto show co-general manager of the Chicago Automobile Trade Association. She's a little bit busy these days. Hello, Jennifer Morand.
Hello. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Well, thank you.
Tell us a little bit about the CATA and what you do there.
Sure. So the Chicago Auto Trade Association, the CATA as you refer to it, is the association that represents new car dealers. And so one of the great benefits of being able to work for our new car dealers is to produce the world-class event like the Chicago Auto Show. So we're ramping up. We're about to take the move down to McCormick Place this week to get everything solidified before our media come. Like Tom and Jill, you've frequented our show, so we'll get ready for you to come next week.
I've been to the auto show, sure. Jennifer, is it typical that the local trade association produces the auto show, like in other markets?
So that's a great question, Tom. So it's unique in some cases that the car dealers, association produces a show. So some other associations across the country do not produce auto shows, or it could be the case that, other markets like LA, for example, they're not run by their dealer association. They're run by an event company.
Interesting.
So it's really a hybrid of both.
I got you. So you guys have an auto show coming up. I've heard of it. It's the Chicago Auto Show. People might want to hear more about that. What you guys are coming out of a crazy period of time, and this is all auto show producers, where you had reduced shows or you had to cancel shows. COVID made everything strange. But we're really getting back to normal, aren't we?
Yeah, I've been saying this, and it's such a great feeling to be able to finally say this, but we are close to pre-pandemic levels. I mean, I'm not going to sugarcoat. We're not fully back yet.
Sure.
Full force before the, pandemic hit back in 2020, but we are looking very close. So this year it enabled us to reopen actually the North Hall, which is fantastic. And that's due to exhibitors coming back to our show. It's due to, people taking up more floor space, for example, with, inventory levels starting to replenish, little by little, but much better situation than we were last year, as well as, coming out of the pandemic. So I'm thrilled to report that we're back to a two-hall show. So we're on the South and the North Hall this year. So I think that, fans are going to be very excited to, like you said, just get back to it and get out. And, like we always say, it's February in Chicago. It's probably a great event to get outside and, indoors, back indoors at McCormick Place.
Well, one of my favorite things about the Chicago show, and we're starting to see this at some other shows, but I really feel like Chicago kind of pioneered this space, is the idea of the indoor test track. I think you said we have something like 6 or 7 this year in Chicago?
Yeah. So we actually have 7 indoor test tracks, if you're counting the 2 that are in Ford's display, which is more than we've ever had before. So that's, a sign of where things are headed, obviously, as an industry. Things are getting more experiential, but also just a great indication that, manufacturers are back and, they're putting an emphasis on getting people in these vehicles. So indoors, we'll have 7 indoor test track experiences. One of the tracks is going to be the Chicago Drives Electric EV track, and that's all EVs. We'll have a variety of brands from 5 different brands on the track, so people can experience the EVs indoors. But then what's cool is they can also head outdoors and actually get behind the wheel and drive these vehicles on city streets. So they can ride along with product specials upstairs, get their questions answered, but then actually put some of these EVs to the test and to the road, outside McCormick Place. But then also gas-powered vehicles. You don't want to EVs get a lot of hype, obviously, right now. And with the Inflation Reduction Act, lots of incentives and everything coming out of that. But they can experience gas powered as well as hybrid. So, really experiencing a variety and a full range of the vehicles that are offered today.
Well, getting to drive a car at the auto show is pretty cool. How do people do that? Do they have to register in advance? What's available to them? Obviously, you probably check to see if they're licensed drivers.
Yes, that's the first step. Yeah,
okay.
we have a license, a valid license, but so they can actually check in at the various manufacturers. So Ford, Subaru, Kia and Volkswagen are the 4 to keep note of. You can check in with their display, but then just the level below the show floor, we actually have an escalator that can head down there from the show floor. They can head right out to the test drive. We'll just check in with the manufacturers there. They'll have a check-in tent, obviously make sure that they're a valid driver, and then they'll be taken out to the vehicle with the product specialist.
Okay.
And so in all cases, somebody will be driving with you, so whether that's right seat or the back seat, because that way they can explain all the features and benefits of the vehicle when you're taking the test drive.
So if you were going there to steal a car, maybe not that easy.
Not that easy. And we do have security around the area just in case, but hopefully that won't be an issue.
So I have a totally practical question. We've got people going there. They want to drive EVs. Some of them are going to be able to drive EVs right there on the street. That's a terrible place to drive. Do you guys have a cool route set up or something?
Yes, we do. We have a route mapped out.
Okay.
Just happily for the distance. So no worries there. That's a great point, Tom. If you're not comfortable driving the city, they'll talk you through just the route. It's an easy route. But really the idea is to put the vehicles to the test. And, it's one thing to ride along in it, but it's another to actually physically drive the vehicle, adjust the seats. Make sure that, you really get a feel for how the vehicle drives and performs.
For so many people, this is going to be the first time they've ever driven an electric vehicle. And they're going to learn that driving an EV around the town is so much nicer than driving something with a gasoline engine. The experience is totally different. So that's super cool. So I've got a question for you, just kind of getting back to the COVID and the COVID situation. What changes sort of kicked off by COVID are we seeing sort of stick with the show? Like, what did you have to do to adapt that worked out and you're running with?
Yep. That's a great question. I mean, obviously, due to there were a lot of, obviously trials and tribulations and unfortunate circumstances throughout the pandemic, but, it did bring a few positives, I could say, if you're trying to look at the bright side for our auto show, excuse me. And one of which is, you know, we're seeing a lot of people buy online, you know, tickets in advance, which is just going to help streamline, you know, the process on site. So, you know, just people couldn't buy a ticket in person and it was just all online. But, you know, also I think the fact that now, and this is not just the auto show, but in the industry in general, is that people are more comfortable inquiring about a vehicle, even if they're looking to purchase online. And dealers have cut the time that people have to actually physically be in the dealership by, you know, a tremendous chunk of time.
Oh.
So now the transaction, really most of which can occur online. You can get all the paperwork, you know, signed. And then once you, you know, once you all that's finalized, you can go into the dealer. It's a lot quicker of a process. So we are seeing some positives around that and just the time that it takes. You know, people used to complain, obviously, that, you know, I mean, who wants to, you know, be in the dealership for hours and hours on end?
Me! But, no, just kidding.
Yeah, we get to be hand raisers. But so that's one thing that we're seeing and one trend that has come out of the pandemic that obviously will continue.
I wonder if one thing that people who have never been to an auto show or specifically the Chicago Auto Show don't understand is, you go there to look at cars and there aren't salesmen waiting to try to sell you something. It's a, it's a completely wonderful open environment where I think the best value is if you're looking at something like a Honda CR-V, you can go drive the Rogue, you can go drive the RAV4, you can drive these, the Equinox, you can drive these other vehicles, or not drive them, I'm sorry.
Sit in them.
Yeah. Stack your kids in the back.
Experience them. Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, we're seeing too, like you were saying about driving, we're going to have a handful. We're still getting the exact make and models of the vehicles that are going to be outside. But, you know, you're going to be able to actually experience, I mean, we're counting upwards of 40. It could be almost 50 vehicles, whether that's inside the vehicle, like, indoors or actually test driving the vehicles outside. And so I mentioned the two tracks in Ford. Ram is going to return with their Ram truck territory. We have Camp Jeep back for another year, which is super exciting. It'll be their 19th anniversary. They're celebrating at our show. And then Toyota will have a track to experience a variety of vehicles from the Tundra ranging all the way to the Prius. And then I mentioned the Chicago Drives Electric track as well. So, and then, you know, in the North Hall, those are all the South. But then the North Hall, Hyundai is unveiling a brand new indoor track with the Ioniq 5. So lots of experiences to be had at the show and actually get in the vehicles to learn about them. Because, you know, we talked a little bit about inventory. As you know, you can't really, you couldn't for many, you know, a full year probably, go to the dealership and actually get in these vehicles because the dealers didn't have any cars. So the fact that, you know, we talk about new vehicles being unveiled at the show, but also think about all the vehicles that people haven't experienced over the past year or two, all that pent-up demand, you know, so that people can actually see them in person. And then, of course, like you said, Tom, not necessarily salespeople, but they're product specialists who are very knowledgeable on the vehicles, and they can answer questions accordingly.
So just a thing about the test tracks, and the thing I love especially about the Jeep and the Ram test tracks that I think you can't experience unless you're there and maybe in line. Jill, have you ever gone on the indoor test tracks?
It's my favorite thing.
Yeah.
I tell people the first thing they should do when they go to the auto show is beeline for these test tracks.
Yeah, because, you want to get there first. But one of the coolest things about them, I think, is the noise of the track, right? Mm-hmm. You hear the car, the tires like, scrambling to be on the track.
Yep.
Then you hear the engine growl, and then you hear people scream. And it's a wonderful trilogy of sounds, I think, and it just punctuates the whole auto show. I think it's cool as heck. Jennifer, there's two things I wanted to talk to you really quickly, and they're important, and that's fudge and beer.
Oh, two of Tom's favorite things.
So is Reba back selling fudge, and what's the deal with beer night?
Well, you'll be sad to know, unfortunately, the fudge will not be returning to the auto show.
I'm not going.
On the plus side, we will have our craft beer night, which is called Chicago Friday Night Flight.
Beer fixes a lot of things.
Which is a fantastic event that will take place on Friday, February 17th. And that will be at the auto show, of course, from 6 to 9 p.m. So this will be a separate ticket. So you can purchase it. You can purchase it directly on ChicagoAutoShow.com. But it's a $45 ticket, but it includes access to the Chicago Auto Show, as well as your tasting pass to sample a variety of local brews. So I think we're up to about 10 different local breweries right now. But what's neat is that, you know, everything is local. It's Chicago. It's a celebration of Chicago and, you know, and what we have to offer. And so the brewmasters, they call themselves, will actually be on site. So they'll kind of take people through what ingredients are in the beers. And then, of course, they can experience the auto show. So they get a nice souvenir glass as well to take home.
Ooh.
So lots of fun. And if beer drinking isn't your thing, which, hey, that's, you know, to each his own, we have an event called Miles Per Hour, which is an indoor run at the auto show, which still is has been, you know, fantastic. She's helped champion. And so, you know, it's actually, that's actually kind of a fun one because it's going to be Super Bowl Sunday morning. So kind of similar to like a turkey trot. You know, you kind of get up, you get your sweat in before you go consume
a
lot of calories and beer, right?
Exactly. So, well, you know, it's funny because I was going to say, yeah, Tom wants to talk about the fudge and the beer, and I want to talk about miles per hour. I want to talk about the running experience because this is in conjunction with the Chicago Area Runners Association, which I'm on the board of directors for. And the really cool thing is you get to run the floor, and then you get early entry to the show. And so your price of registration includes the show floor entry.
Oh,
That's right. Yep. So
you don't have to run. You can come walk it.
But you're totally sweaty then.
That's fine.
You know what? It's a great time.
That's what dude
like
wipes
Bill
are
said,
for.
To see the show floor before it opens. There's only a couple of chances. If you think about this, there's only a few chances. So the first is First Look for Charity, which is our Black Tie Gala. And that takes place the Friday before the show opens to the public, which is this year's Friday, February 10th. And that's a black tie, you know, event, which is, you know, different, of course, from what you're going to get during the public show. The other is this miles per hour run. So great opportunity to come to the show before it opens to the public. And then, of course, the media preview, which you two are privy to. But that's just for working members of the media only. So a few chances to come out and see the show before the crowds.
Jennifer, have you ever considered combining the miles per hour run with the First Look for Charity? Because a lot of people, I think, would like to try that in rented shoes.
That is hysterical. I love that. Well, in those of you who know the event also know that there are slippers to be found at
First
Slippers.
That's right. Yes, there are.
In my mind, I'm thinking that those Cadillac pink slippers, and I'm just picturing, you know, loads of people running around in slippers. And it's kind of a funny image in my head, but yeah.
Well, the other combo that you could, I'll just put this out there for you to think of, is combining the beer mile with the miles per hour on the floor of the Chicago Auto Show.
Or, work with me, combining the beer thing with the EV test drives.
No. Beer and driving, no.
Oh.
Ever.
The good thing is that indoor, the good thing is that the indoor test, you know, test tracks, the people can drive you.
Oh, fair.
So you can sample the beer, and that people can drive you. So there you go. Yep.
Okay. So that maybe there's a potential there. So we've got three new ideas for you: the charity run in high heels. Dudes must wear high heels as well, and then you get slippers afterwards. Then you have the beer mile around the show floor, and then the beer tasting on the EV test track. See,
there's
three
also
new ideas.
An opportunity for someone to bring fudge in.
Yes.
Someone could sneak in fudge.
Yes.
Jennifer, why would anyone download the Chicago Auto Show app?
Well, that's a great question, Tom. So on the Auto Show app, you can get all the information at your fingertips. I really, honestly, I use it all the time, even on site for a map. So the map is there. All the key events are listed there. You can purchase your tickets there. It's really just a one-stop shop for everything Auto Show. So just kind of a nice touch. Of course, we have our website and our social media channels as well. But the Auto Show app just provides that, like I said, just that one-stop shop.
The map is by far the most useful thing. That is.
I agree. We plan a show floor, but I still refer to it when I'm trying to remember where a key location is or an exhibitor or, you know, even restaurants will have denoted on the map.
If you can't remember the map, no one can.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. That's a good point.
So people should try to get their tickets in advance online, but tell us the hours. Tell us the schedule.
Yeah. So the auto show will open to the public February 11th, and it will run through the 20th, President's Day. And then the hours are 10 to 10. So easy to remember, 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. every day of the show, except the final day, President's Day, when the show closes at 8 p.m.
And that's just because you guys are really tired.
we couldn't put two more hours in.
Obviously,
you know,
go ahead, Jennifer.
Believe it or not, you know, people, it's like Mondays get late, and so it's just what works best. But we do load out that evening too, so it's a lot of things working together.
A lot of stuff going on. What if someone wants to sneak in there at a time when maybe it's a little less busy? When's the best time to do that?
Yeah, good question. So historically, you know, we have not had Super Bowl Sunday in our show, but that wasn't the case last year. So I would definitely say Super Bowl Sunday, our crowds were light. That said, we were just talking about the run. So who knows? Maybe the run will attract a few more people to the show that day. But I would also recommend during the weekdays or during the evening hours during the weekdays. So those tend to be less busy. If you can swing it, if you could take a day off of work or potentially, you know, maybe you don't have to work a certain day. Obviously President's Day, that Monday, the 20th, is going to be very crowded. That's the time that a lot of families like to come out with their, sure, with their kids because they're off of school in most cases.
All right. So everyone should check out ChicagoAutoShow.com. If you're from out of town and just want to keep up with what's going, there's stuff going on there too, right?
ChicagoAutoShow.com. Also Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can get all of the latest there. And we're going to be live streaming the press conferences from our Facebook page. So just kind of a plug for that. So Facebook.com/ChicagoAutoShow. So people can actually, even though they can't, you know, the general public can't see, you know, can't physically be there to see the vehicles being unveiled, though they certainly can come see them, you know, the following day and in the week. But they can tune in live if they want to get in on the action.
Sounds good. Jennifer, thank you for joining us today.
Thanks for having me. I'm so glad you brought this podcast back.
That's all. We're excited to be back. Thank you. All right. That was Jennifer Marand with the Chicago Automobile Trade Association. We're going to take a break. And when we come back, it's quiz time. Stick around.
Questions or comments?
Drop us a line at carstuff@consumerguide.com.
That's carstuff@consumerguide.com. Welcome back to the Car Stuff Podcast.
All right, we're back. This is the Car Stuff Podcast, and I am Tom Appel, publisher of Consumer Guide Automotive. Thanks for sticking around today. Jill, it seemed like last week I was going to skip the part where you talk about social media, but I meant to get to it.
I would never let you skip it. I would take away your Twitter time from you if you were going to cut my TikTok time.
It's cutthroat. This business is
totally
cutthroat.
Totally cutthroat. So social media, I actually like to do that stuff. So it's crazy, right? But
Can I admit something?
Yes.
I love Twitter.
And actually, that's it?
No. I just have like a really good band of people that I hang with on Twitter, and I enjoy it.
I actually, oddly, have a really good band of people that that follow me on TikTok. And
are TikTokers inherently good?
No.
Okay, that's what. That's where I was going.
I would say when I first started doing TikTok, I got a lot of trolls.
They're mostly felons, right?
No. They're mostly like 12-year-olds, I think.
12-year-old felons.
But no, the majority of my followers are between 18 and 34 on TikTok.
Relatively young?
Yeah. I think that's like 70% of my followers are in that age group. But I have great followers there that really give me really good story ideas on vehicles that I'm driving and topics to cover and questions to ask. So TikTok, Instagram, Twitter. I occasionally talk to @CarGuyTom on Twitter. Jill Simonello is my handle on all of the social media. And if you can't figure out how to spell Simonello because it's hard, follow the hashtag #CarDuJour.
I had someone text me to figure out how to spell Simonello.
Huh?
I'll tell you why later.
Okay.
Yeah, it's inside baseball. Way inside
baseball.
All right.
So Simonello, Simonillo. There you go.
I wasn't asking.
But I figured somebody out there probably was if they text messaged you.
All right. This is episode 150. Happy anniversary.
Yes.
The quiz isn't actually that special.
Oh.
It's good. But it's not 150th anniversary special.
Well,
but I'll have something good. We have Steve and Johnny joining us next week.
Yes.
I'll come up with a good quiz for that.
Okay.
A good quiz.
A good quiz.
Today's quiz is good.
Today's good. But that is going to be a good.
All
good.
Caps. Okay. Yeah. All right. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Today's topic is 40 grand.
Ooh. Which we know the Ford F-150 Lightning does not cost.
That's correct. And that's actually where we're going with this.
Okay.
All numbers are courtesy of manufacturer brand configurators. So I got these today or yesterday.
Okay. And does it include destination or not?
It does include destination.
Okay.
Yes. Good. Thank you for asking. Are you ready? Jill.
Yes.
Jill, question for you.
Okay.
Can you theoretically purchase a 2023 Honda CR-V hybrid for less than 40 grand?
Hmm.
Very good vehicle.
I haven't driven it yet.
We talked about it before. You have driven CR-V hybrid.
No, I drove. I drove the not the new generation.
Okay.
I drove it.
Was it that long ago we talked?
Probably.
Okay.
I had a 20-minute test of the CR-V at the NACTI semi-finalist drive, but I haven't had it for a full test. So I have not been privy to a sticker sheet. I'm going to say no.
Yes. The answer is yes.
Okay.
The 2023 CR-V all-wheel drive sport hybrid. I think that's sport. Hybrid.
Right.
I don't think it's sport hybrid. 34,450, 1295 destination, 35,745. Sounds like a great deal.
Yeah.
All right.
And I loved the previous generation CR-V hybrid. I liked it better than the RAV4 hybrid. So
I did for different reasons, but both drivetrains are very good.
Yeah.
You have no points.
I have no points. Like Cookie Monster has no cookies on series thing. So yeah.
Jill, can you purchase a 2023 Acura TLX? That is Acura's midsize sporty sedan for less than $40,000.
I feel like I'm just going to say no across the board, and it'll probably be yes across the board because you're sneaky that way.
I think I can be sneaky.
Trying
I'm writing down zero so I don't forget.
Yeah, thanks.
I didn't
mean
to distract you.
Uh-huh. So the TLX, can it any version of it, or was there a specific
term? Yes, base.
Base.
Can you get into one for under 40K? Theoretically. We're just working with MSRP.
Right. Theoretically, I'll say no.
Correct. No. 39,850, that's the base car. There's also a Tech and A-Spec model available. 1195 destination for 41,045. That one was very close. You're on the board.
All
1 point. I wrote that down. Do you see?
I see that you wrote that down.
Okay.
Thank you.
Hey, Jill, can you purchase a 3 Series BMW for less than 40 grand?
I knew you could.
The base model this year is referred to as the 330i, by the way.
We should also tell people, because I'm trying to kill time as I'm thinking about this, that...
I just realized that there was like a really long pause there.
But we should tell people that the idea here, since I'm doing the quiz against myself, is if I get three right, I win.
Yeah.
3 out of 5.
Yeah.
And you, so the base BMW 3 Series, less than 40,000.
Yeah, going to need an answer here.
Well, you can't get the TLX for less than 40, so I'm going to say no.
You cannot, correct. You have 2 points. The best you can do is 44,795. That is 43,800 base plus 995 destination. Destination is under a grand.
BMW is like the only one I think who does that.
Yeah, I think maybe Mazda does.
I mean, everything's an option on their vehicle. So if you want like a steering wheel, you're going to have to pay $100 for it. But
steering wheel, brake pedal. Mm-hmm. Jill, Jill, can you purchase a 2023 GMC Sierra for less than $40,000? That would, of course, would be GM's full size pickup truck.
Oh man, and this should be something that I would know.
By the way, this is a regular cab. Short bed, no options. This vehicle may not exist. But theoretically, can you do it?
You know what? I'm going to say theoretically, yes.
Theoretically, yes. But it's really hard to prove that with the configurator. But because it keeps throwing different prices at me, and then it throws promotional prices out there. So it's really hard to keep this straight. But $37,100 for a regular cab short bed, $1,895 destination. Or twice the BMW destination search for $38,995. And then $50 was added to the price, and I don't know where it came from. But you're still under.
Yeah.
Did you know this? I don't know if you knew this. The old 4.3-liter V6 that was the base engine in Sierras and Silverados is gone.
I think I did know that.
Yeah, it's just the turbo 2.7 now.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right, you have three.
Uh-huh.
You won.
Uh-huh.
All
but
right.
We're still going to do the last question in the
bonus. Jill, can you purchase a 2023 Tesla Model 3 for 40 grand?
Yes.
Tesla recently dropped a lot of their prices?
Yes.
Yeah, you can't.
Really?
No. No, $43,990 plus $1,390 destination plus an irritating $250 ordering fee. What's an ordering fee?
I don't know. It's kind of like on some of the websites I see acquisition fees.
Yeah, same thing. Well, acquisition fees usually apply to a lease. But yeah, it's irritating. For $45,630, which I believe is the cheapest you can do a Tesla. All right, it's bonus question time, though. You've run. You got four.
No, I got three.
You got three?
I didn't get that one because I said it, Tesla.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay, sorry. Yeah, I didn't mean to get your hopes up there. You got three.
I got three.
It's a win. It's a marginal win.
It's a marginal win.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how happy you are with that, but.
I'm totally cool with that. I'm not competitive at all. I just won. That's all I'll have to say. I won. Winning is winning.
Winning is winning. Jill, as you may know, and we were just talking about this a moment ago, 13% of Americans smoke cigarettes.
Ah, yeah. We were totally talking about that. No.
Do you know what percentage of Japanese people in Japan smoke cigarettes?
No.
20%.
Okay.
All right.
I would have thought more.
Yeah. That's not the question.
Okay.
Though. Are you
good.
Ready? Because I know you can see this question coming a mile away.
No, it's probably going to be like completely, what kind of Pepsi does, you know, so-and-so drink?
No. I wouldn't do Pepsi questions twice in a row.
Okay.
Which of the following is not a Japanese brand of cigarette? Are you ready?
Okay.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Mild 7, 7 Stars, Golden Bat, Tokyo Star. I spelled Tokyo wrong. One of those is a fake brand of Japanese cigarettes.
They all sound like something else to me.
Later on, we can look into what's with the 7.
Right. Okay, go read through those one more time.
Sure. Mild 7, mm-hmm. 7 Stars, mm-hmm. Golden Bat, Tokyo Star. You don't spend enough time in the duty-free shop at the airport.
I don't spend any time at the duty-free shop.
Yeah. Cheap perfume and Japanese cigarettes.
Yeah, no, I don't need either of those things.
All right.
I am going to say the last one, Tokyo Star.
You are correct. That is the fake.
Okay.
Yep. Good
Total
job.
Guess.
So you got 3 plus the bonus. That's a much better performance, I think.
I think the bonus counts for like 20 points since I don't smoke and will never, ever smoke.
I was sure you were going to say Golden Bat.
I don't know. I don't know.
All right. All right. That's
you
all
were,
I got.
You were trying to set me up for a fall is what you were trying to do.
That is what I'm always trying to do.
Meanie.
That takes us to my last question of the day, Jill.
Mm-hmm.
What's going on? Places you work.
In places that I work. The primary outlet I work for is Pickup Truck Plus SUV Talk, which is pickuptrucktalk.com. And we were talking
offline. That's confusing.
Pickuptrucktalk.com.
It's a little confusing.
Why is it confusing?
Because you add the SUV when you say it.
Well,
people are going to find it.
So
if you type in what you just said, it gets you right there.
It does because I actually made my boss buy the URL for both.
Oh.
Because I'm always thinking that was my idea. Pickup Truck Talk. So initially it started, now I'm tangenting. Initially it started as just a Pickup Truck Talk website. So all they wrote about were pickup trucks. But as the rise of SUVs and, you know, as they became more important and sedans and cars started to go away.
SUVs are pretty popular now?
They're a little popular.
Yeah.
Then we added in the plus SUV talk. So,
gotcha. I've seen the logo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a plus sign on it.
Mm-hmm.
It's yellow. But last week, my boss was on vacation and he left the reins in my hands. That was either wise or not wise. I know.
Wow.
So maybe I did earn that editor-in-chief title. But I said it was like the every story I wrote last week felt like it was about a compact or a small pickup truck. So right now there's only two vehicles that currently exist in that segment, and that is Ford Maverick and the Hyundai Santa Cruz. Yet there was a GM concept EV truck.
How did I miss this?
I don't know, but it was apparently shown to some media. I don't know who those media are. I wasn't one of them, but but it's out there.
Those lucky folks that live in Detroit.
Yeah, I think it's those lucky folks in Detroit. But so that was shown, but they don't have like GMC or Chevy badging on it. It was totally just a concept, but so they're thinking about it. And we heard that they were trying, like that Chevy was out benchmarking like compact SUVs, so or pickup trucks. So that's out there. So that's on the website. There's been some scuttlebutt about the idea of Nissan producing a compact pickup truck. Titan is going away.
Have they announced that?
They haven't officially announced it, but I mean, it's not in Canada anymore.
For people who don't know, Titan is a two-time loser.
Yeah.
Two generations of full-size pickup truck that just couldn't do it.
No, and it's a good truck. It's a good truck.
Yeah, the current generation Titan is actually a pretty nice vehicle.
Yeah.
But just selling a nice vehicle doesn't get you into that. Into that club.
No.
You got to have a dealer network that's ready to handle it.
Yep.
And you have to have a lot of stuff in inventory.
Yep.
And you need more than just like one engine and a few body configurations. It wasn't there.
Yeah. And then the other like small pickup truck thing last week that was kind of leaked is there's Dodge Dakota or Ram Dakota rumors again. There was some testing seen in the Arctic Circle of the 1200, and there's some thoughts that maybe that'll come stateside as a Dakota, because right now Ram only has one size, like they have their full-size pickup truck and then their heavy-duty pickup trucks, but they don't have a midsize or a compact. So.
Which they should have.
They should, in fact, have.
So is the current one, does it look like it's going to be based on some sort of Fiat or European architecture, like a unibody front drive thing?
Yeah. I mean, the 1200, as far as I could tell when I was researching it, is in the Middle East right now. And I believe it is unibody construction. So I don't know. It'll be interesting if they do come out with something like a Dakota. But, I mean, they still – something called the 700 down in Mexico, which is like Maverick size, so even smaller. So I there's potential there for them to bring smaller pickup trucks to the U.S. They just haven't.
Chevy used to sell a delightful-looking thing called the Tornado in Mexico.
Mm.
Little two-door thing. It was kind of step-side.
Mm-hmm.
There was no way it was ever going to pass crash testing in the U.S.
Right.
But adorable. It was adorbs.
Adorable.
Little two-door thing. At Consumer Guide Automotive, if I may.
Are you tangenting?
I am.
Okay.
This is a
not
segue.
Talking about pickup trucks
It was a
anymore.
Terrible segue.
But that's fine. We've
it wasn't
segued
a
now.
Segue. I'm just interjecting.
That's cool. Interject.
Yeah. Finally got, because we were just talking about this vehicle last week, I finally got my test drive up of the Kia Telluride SX Prestige X Pro. Which is way too much name.
Yeah, that's a big mouthful.
But it's basically the top line Kia Telluride. That's that's Kia's biggest crossover in X-Pro trim, which is their off-roady.
Okay.
It's not as off-road committed as something like the Ford Explorer Timberline, but it's got stuff going on. And as you can see, I took pictures of the vehicle in front of the Daily Herald building.
As you say, I know that building.
Yeah, because it's like the only brutalist structure out in the Northwest. So somehow I weaved that into the story.
Okay.
Yeah. So people want to check that out. Also, we have a moment left here. You ever heard of the Low Price 3?
Nope.
It was an advertising thing that Plymouth used to use way back starting in the 30s.
Definitely.
It was a reference to Ford, Chevy, and Plymouth.
Okay.
And it was a thing you did because you didn't want to reference them by name.
Okay.
So it became the Low Cost 3, Low Price 3. Anyway.
Okay.
Collection of ads that made use of that. It's marketing history.
And it's on the website.
Yes, consumerguide.com.
There you go.
Yes, just go there. Click on blog, or if you want to listen to back episodes of the podcast, which everyone does.
Mm, or should.
Should. No, everyone does it.
Okay.
Everyone.
Okay.
All right. I think we're done.
Are we?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Thanks to Jennifer Moran of the Chicago Automobile Trade Association. Thank you, Jill.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks to producer Randy and the good folks here at Talk Zone at the Talk Zone Radio Network. And a special shout out to my radio mentor, Steve and Johnny, who join us next week in studio. They recently shopped for a car. They have lots of stories.
Mm.
Plus, they have a new show.
And they're entertaining.
They're very entertaining. Nicest people in the world, but they have a new show. We're going to talk about that. So that's the stuff. Let's talk more about cars when?
Today.
Next week.
Next week. Yes, next week.
Remember to check us out at consumerguide.com.
The Car Stuff Podcast is produced by J-Turn Media.
To advertise on the show, please drop us a line at carstuff@consumerguide.com.